that you can tell me to put my health in danger by wearing a mask all day. I'm talking about the people that had to wear masks all day at work, and the children. And you want to talk about disillusionment of the youth. My God, look at the littler ones, what they've been living through and will continue to live through. They live through the lockdown. Now, some of them still are living through some pretty, you know, crappy areas where you know, their social distancing or masks. Or,
right.
You know, these little kids can't hug their friends and they can't play on the playground. I mean, the most bizarre thing that we ever witnessed, but we were living it and angry. Now, when I personally look back on the past 2 years, it does inflame me even more because we never did get those answers. And it took 2 years to get some things through the court system. Like when they said, everybody has to get a vaccine. Well, where is this written? Where? Like we knew Biden was bluffing. You and I knew, and people knew that the more he talked about the mandates, the more people were going to get off the fence. When we were telling people, no, it's not been decided. It's not been decided. And then, then they lost. But why did it take so long? Why didn't something of this level of importance make it through the court system at warp speed? It did not. They just kept dragging things out and dragging things out, and each state was doing their own thing. Now I hear, and I don't know if it's true or not because I've been busy, but I heard a Tennessee now, I think you can get ivermectin over the counter.
And many different places, you can pretty much just get it now.
Right.
It's like, well, it falls under the thing of what I said. It's okay to blow the Ricola horn now. It's safe. When it's just like information.
Right. Don't need ivermectin now. Serious anymore. I told you, people are coughing and sneezing in public and nobody's blinking an eye. And, you know, it's like it's all over. But for 2 years, we just were experiencing things we never could wrap our minds around. Like when the EEOC was saying that the employers could mandate it. And we're like, how can an employer, and I kept asking the question, and this is how I met Legal Man, because I was, you know, hanging off a cliff on Twitter, and I kept saying, like, who's taking the responsibility? Who are we suing over our personal health? Because if you're a corporate executive or an office manager demanding this, are you taking the responsibility if someone gets bacterial pneumonia from wearing a mask all day? And nobody would answer that question. It was like, and I'm saying, where is the legal department of these corporations? Are they not concerned? The short-term disability people, the long-term, the people that are underwriting the corporation, where is everybody? And that was very frustrating for me. And I think you know that because many times you were like, okay, you need to calm down. But I didn't calm down because it was so unjust that they were just making things up as they went along. The schools, yes, children must wear a mask. Okay, who's taking the responsibility? And nothing.
Simple questions you don't get a damn answer for, though.
Right. Point to me in black and white. Point to me in black and white. And because I know if I was an office manager, a supervisor, or a corporate exec, and I was told from the top that I had to start demanding everyone under me wear a mask, I'd be like, yeah, no, I quit. I'm not going to be responsible for you know, one, someone's civil liberties. That's number one. And number two, I'm not... we couldn't even get doctors to acknowledge that wearing a mask all day was bad for your health. When there was papers out from the 1918 flu, how most people died of bacterial pneumonia.
Choking themselves out most of the time.
Right. Children, you remember when the kids went back to school in August of 20 and they had to wear the mask. First of all, it was the most heartbreaking thing ever to witness. and children separated and all that. But these little tiny tots coming out of pre-K and kindergarten, and the masks are hanging, and you can tell that they're dirty, and you're like, what? Like, you just couldn't wrap your mind around it. And the fact that grown-ass adults, teachers, that I'm sure were mothers, that didn't see anything wrong with it.
Doesn't mean they're good mothers.
it showed you the mass, like, freaking MK Ultra that took place. These people bought in hook, line, and sinker. And I would be in the car line looking at these people. Like, you're not coming unglued looking at these children, that these kids don't see facial expressions?
No problem. Sometimes you get stuck
the wording, we're in this together and all of that.
Oh yeah. Do your part. We're in this together. Play your role.
All in these gaming simulations, all of the wording in these. And I'm talking 2007, 8, 10.
Well, it's funny you say that because the monkeypox thing that was showing up in government manuals and stuff. That's 2006.
There you go.
Like, what? What the fuck is monkeypox?
And I bet if we dig, we're just going to keep finding more and more and more. But the only thing why I like doing this, it's just more validation that we know that we're right, that we're constantly being set up. Now the problem is, this is should be a fear for all of us. Those of us that know that there are schemes constantly being built around us, what's going to happen to us when something real does happen? And that could be the real setup.
Well, I have a good answer. I think if you use this opportunity and these opportunities and the time to make some changes and prevent, almost become somewhat bulletproof to any of it, then it won't matter what they do. And now there's different ways to become bulletproof, and there's different ways to insulate yourself, and it's different for everybody. So I can't give you a cookie cutter response, but one would be geography and location. And you can't do anything about that, then it's your mental state.
Right.
Understand. Okay. Well, there are fallback positions I have. There's preparations I've made for my family and for my loved ones. And I used the time and the warnings and all these fucking episodes and all these simulations and all these things we're talking about should be telltale signs to you to wise up and stop trusting these people. And I think more importantly than anything, stop believing that everything's going to be all right if you watch Fox and these other places. It's just like this overall feeling like, oh, it's going to be okay. You see Tucker Carlson talking about Brian Stelter. It's like, oh, we're just talking about him. Everything's pretty good, you know, so we'll just go pick on this fat guy from CNN and make fun of his weight. And, you know, and that's fun to do if everything else is fucking going well. It's like, oh, let's go pick on this guy. I mean, you know, because everything else in my life is so good. Well, we can pick on a reporter or a journalist and single them out, but it's not. It's just one distraction after another. So I have this overwhelming feeling that things are not well. I'm not a genius, but that they're not going, I guess the overriding feeling attached to that is that they're not going to get better unless you break outside the box and you have to make it better. No one's going to do it for you. And there's going to be, like anything else, trial and error. Not everything's going to go your way. Some things will. And you build on that. And it's a give and take. And if you've been sitting around watching TV and watching different things, it's a good time to turn that off and take stock of your own life. And things don't work out in life like they do on TV. They're not wrapped up in pretty little bows at certain time frames.
Yeah.
It's much more complicated.
I've cut a lot out. I mean, I'm down to only listening to a few of my favorites and reading, you know, digging into things. And then when I'm not doing that, it's watching all of the prepper stuff, the canning, the jarring, the homesteading, or, you know, something with supplements, you know, anything like that that I can watch. But it's definitely not television. It's definitely not radio. It's not even as many podcasts as I used to listen to, because I can't do that anymore. I can only have a little bit, and then the rest of it is because I'm behind. I have to catch up. So, you know, I'm living in two worlds now. It's the prepper world, and still keeping my finger on the pulse of, you know, some government stuff, but not politics. I'm definitely, I don't listen to anybody that talks about politics. Don't want to hear it. Don't care. Don't care who's running. Not interested. Unless there was a total clean out of everything in one swoop, it just doesn't matter to me, because I have too much time to make up for. And there are times.
There's a lot of ground to cover. You're right about that.
There's a lot of ground to cover. And, you know, there are times that, you know, when something's a part of you, like digging and reading and researching, that's a part of me. I do enjoy that. But there are times I go, how would it feel to ditch it all and just concentrate 100% on the catch-up aspect of it? Because I really enjoy myself going out to the farm and doing, and because I know I have a lot of farms here. I've not scratched the surface. So that's homework right there. You know, going out and checking out each farm to see, you know, which one you like the best and the locations. And, you know, we have one that does olive oil. We have people that make homemade soaps, all of these things. And you want to give your money to these people rather, you know, than corporations. So, yeah, you know, that's the world I'm at now. It's catch-up time. And why do I feel that way? Because while I'm still here, at least I could teach my children and the grandchildren. Because everything I learn, I teach them. You know, like when it comes to the whole foods or the supplements and things like that, what I'm learning, you know, they're learning. And they're out working. So I'm the one here to do it.
Well, what you said, we refer back to Thomas Paine, who said, I prefer peace, but if trouble must come, let it come in my time so that my children can live in peace.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. I think that's almost like right. The entire transition of the show. I mean, I'm witnessing an evolution of the entire show at this point, because I'm too have grown tired of politics, and I love making fun of them, though. Man, it's so powerful to make fun of these assholes. It really is. They hate it. So it's worth doing just because they hate it so much because it is so powerful. So that's worth it. But
and I like the, I think you and I are kind of lucky at the age that we're at, because we're still young enough to have that fight in us and actually do it, in comparison to my parents who were 80. And although they understand that the world is spiraling in a bad direction, they don't have the energy or the resources to do what I'm doing. So not only am I, you know, going to prepare the children, grandchildren, you know, I've got to make sure they're shielded from a lot of things, because at their age, I don't really need them worrying too much. So, you know, as easy as I can make their lives with making sure everything is, you know, status quo and they have their necessities, you know, I don't want to scare them with the supply chain issues and all of that, because they don't have the energy to go out and prep. So I'm kind of doing that so that I have enough for all the households.
Yeah. And you have to have some fight left in you. I don't care who you are. I mean, mm-hmm. Even if you've lost and stuff like that, you still have to come back and you still have to fight and get back up. And I think that's what life is all about, really.
That's getting what keeps me going every day.
Yeah, get back up.
I mean, I have the determination and the fight mentally, because I've always been one of those people, like, don't tell me I can't do that when I know I can. So I'm just going to keep moving forward. When you make me mad, it makes me stronger. That's mentally. Physically would be the same thing if it came down to that. Physically, do I wish I was 25? Well, sure. But, you know, I'm going to fight as long as I can.
Well, my younger son says, Dad, you should just have a show of you driving around. It's very intense when you drive around. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you don't understand it. This is, you know, you talk about content, because sometimes we get in conversation. I say, this is really great radio. It's too bad we can't use it. He said, the great radio is you behind the wheel. You're completely out of your fucking mind. You're looking for a fist fight at every mile. Somebody does something, you're like, oh, here he comes. And I said, well, you miss it. I predict that they do things before they do things on the road. See, that's the difference. I say, this guy is going to put his blinker on and cut me off in the next 5 seconds, 6 seconds. It happens. They're like, son of a bitch. And I said, this guy's head, he's hedging in front of us. He's getting off at this exit. My wife's like, settle down. You don't know what you're talking about. Then I do this thing, this Jedi mind trick. I wave my hand at the windshield, and the guy gets off the exit, and they're like, how the fuck did you know? I said, you got to be able to read what's going on the road. Mm-hmm. And if they do stupid stuff, I'm like, you motherfucker, you try that again. I swear to God. So you got to have some fight left in you.
Oh yeah. And yeah, you have to have situational awareness. Absolutely. At all times. And you have to be ready. But for me, I'm a very happy person going about my life, but the second something that I know is not right, boom, that switch goes off. And then it's fight mode. You have to prepare, whether it's something I hear on the, you know, when a podcast I'm listening to or something I read that fires me up that I know is wrong or something that's coming. Boom, I'm out.
Well, you're seeing a lot of that in the last couple of days, right? I mean,
yes.
With this thing in Texas, I don't want to get too far into it because it's a real grenade as far as broadcasting is. But what the fuck is happening there? You know.
Well,
if you're fucking sitting on this, I heard today that one cop admitted that other cops went into the school and got their own kids out. What the fuck is that about?
It's horrible reporting from the beginning, and I noticed something immediately, and I texted you immediately about it. When Governor Abbott spoke, I was like, is this Joe Biden? Because usually when there are press conferences, even in a tragedy like this, they are pretty professional. This was just babbling. And then one of the officers later did a press conference, and it wasn't any better. I mean, it was just total. The reporting was horrible. The dead numbers were off. First, the guy was in custody, then he was dead. Just talking.
There was
like,
an armed
was
security guard,
sense.
And then there wasn't right. an armed security guard.
The reporting on this was crazy, and it's still crazy.
But you do have video, though. One thing you can't change is you have video of parents sitting there saying, go the fuck into the school, man. What's the matter with you people? And that's – I saw some of that. I said, this is crazy.
I mean, how do I say this? You're in Texas. Armed parents go in. Fuck these cops.
No, that's my philosophy. It's like, wait a minute. Oh, this is why my way of this conversation was at dinner, and I said, this is why we drive cars that are made of steel and not fucking fiberglass. Oh, I'm going home, and I'm coming to fuck back. and I'll drive right through that fucking
right.
school.
That's right. Right. Right.
Like I, you know, oh, yeah. we're afraid to breach. Oh, I'm breaching in my vehicle. Mm-hmm. You want to play? Yeah. We're going to play. You know, you got my, the most precious thing in my entire life. And I'm going to sit here and fucking ask you to do something for me. Fuck you. I'll go right through you, man. I'm not waiting for right. you. And it's so crazy because we found out during COVID that we have to be our own doctors. And now I told people yesterday and today, you better be prepared to be your own police. You have to be your own everything. It's mm-hmm. lawless. It's chaos. You can't depend on anybody. You thought that the local government and the sheriffs were going to back your ass up or whatever. You were pissing up a rope, man. These same people will come and fucking put a rope around you and drag you out of your house. If it's even for the smallest infraction or whatever, you have to be prepared to do what you got to do for your family. And I know, you know, people are pro police and everything, and that's great. But when they don't act and you got some skin in the game, and I would think if you have kids, that's considered the ultimate skin in the game. Fuck mm-hmm. out of the way, bitch. Coming through.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many things that don't add up. And
I don't even need a fucking gun. I get in at school, you give me a butter knife. I'm going.
No, did I ever tell you the story about my uncle when I was like in first grade or something, no. when there was race riots in South Philly?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think maybe you told me this privately.
Yeah. Well, back then, you know, you walked to school and right around the corner. And, you know, you're so young. You don't just don't understand these things. But I do have memory of this, that the commotion started. Now, back then, there weren't good. When there were like riots, there weren't guns. There was more stabbings and fist fights and all of that. And a race riot broke out, and a police officer threw a few of us, like maybe three or four of us little kids, into the corner beauty parlor, and they locked it up. You remember they used to have the gates that they put on the doors that you pulled across?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So they did that. And we were looking out the window. And then, I later found out, like, as I got older, my mother told the story that my uncle must have drove by and saw what was happening, ran to our house and asked my mother where I was. And she said, well, she's at school. And he jumps back in the van. And all I remember is looking out the window and seeing my uncle. And he's swinging chains. And hitting people. There were people, like the cops were fighting, the people were fighting, somebody tossed over a baby carriage, like all this craziness was happening. And my uncle was out there, like out of a movie, whacking people down. And next thing you know, those beauty parlor doors open. He picked me up and took me home. But I remember that. Like it was crazy.
Game on.
It was game on.
I mean, you know, this is not some Rambo stuff I'm talking about, because I can just see people saying, oh, yeah, you're fucking. I mean, when the chips are down.
Like that.
I've been to situations like this. It's like, well, you know, are we going in? Are we going to sit here and fucking order coffee?
Right. Right?
What's it going to be? Am I going to be here for 4 or 5 days, or do we just fucking breach and let's just go?
We're talking about an entire classroom and. The teacher, I don't know if you heard this before you went on, but the teacher, one of the teachers that died, her husband went to the Cross Memorial today, 48-year-old man, and he died of a heart attack after. So they left behind 4 kids now. That's another tragedy. And still, we're still not getting proper reports. There's
a lot of problems. Well, there's people covering their ass. That's what's going on.
It's insane.
We saw this happen again down in your neck of the woods at Parkland, where these cats showed up and they're like, yeah, man, I don't know. There's a shooter in there. Let's get some backup.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I don't think so, man. You signed all the preparation.
But what was bizarre.
The fuck on. You signed the fuck on.
How come this is another school that had an active shooter drill?
Well, that's
and more.
I mean, we could go down that goddamn road, and you're wondering what's happening. So here's the thing. I'll just say this too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very important for people to understand. And I'm not saying anything about what happened in Texas or anywhere else, but I'm just saying the overall vibe here, and I tweeted about it today and on pain.tv and also on Twitter. I said, you know, your government no longer functions on a local, state, or federal level. They don't work for you. So you have to be prepared to do what you got to do to protect you and yours against all enemies.
That's right.
And that includes your government.
I agree 100%.
Okay. So in that vein, I don't believe a fucking word anybody at any podium says under any circumstances. I just don't buy it ever. And I think that switch was flipped the Vegas Mandalay Bay shooting. I sat there and I said, oh, these motherfuckers are all lying.
Mm-hmm.
They're all lying through their teeth and they're not even good at it. And I started.
And then they just shut it down. Yeah. You know, we're done here and don't even ask
don't
any more
even.
Questions.
Don't
it's
even.
Over.
How dare you now, ask questions?
Now, our school here, the sign right out front lets you know that they're carrying on campus. There are certain teachers carrying. The people in the car line, they're carrying. We just went to curriculum day this week because yesterday was last day at school. Monday was curriculum day, and it was all outside. And, yeah, I mean, they're carrying. And I love it. I think it's fantastic.
I'll take some combat vets, put some combat vets, you know, cats paying $50,000, $60,000 a year come to school. And keep an eye on things and have them loaded, you know.
Strap
a gun right across their shoulder and sit there. And
And I would bet you it wouldn't even cost any money because a lot of these people would volunteer to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody else is making. I mean, give them an incentive. Yeah. What parents aren't.
But
gonna,
I'm saying,
you
if
can't
they,
find
if they said,
you can't find money in your bloated school budget for this. Give me a break. Are you crazy?
We talked about this on Tom's show after Parkland, and I said, you wait, all of the money that is going to be spent to build walls around these schools, and damn if there wasn't, it was done here. Our high school used to have the most beautiful open courtyard. My kids were lucky because they got to enjoy that. After Parkland, you drive by there now, it looks like a prison. It's all cinder blocked up. So they found the money for infrastructure to fortify schools. When I was saying to use the retired police or vets or anyone, and people called into the show and said that they would 100% do that, just like a lot of these older people volunteer to be crossing guards. Well, guess what? You're a retired vet and you're a crossing guard? Carry. You want to go patrol the lunchroom? Carry. You don't need to build the wall. But no, they did. Now, I want to know this Texas school. How fortified were they? Was anybody in that school carrying? It's Texas. Why does my school here, why do they carry? I would expect Texas to be doing the same.
Well, I just would expect, you know, one of the young bucks here told me, or said to me, it's Texas. Like, what are these parents doing standing around asking the police?
That's my point.
Aren't they in Texas?
Like, thank you.
Fuck out of the way. If you're not going in, I'm going in. You're going to shoot me in the back.